This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Jonathan Rentels joins me live in studio. He's the founder and director of Creative Voices in Media. You can learn more online at creativevoices.us. How are you, sir? It's good to see you.
I'm doing well, Coy. It's great to be here. Thanks.
Yeah. So what is a national broadband plan? What is this?
Well, that's a great question. And first of all, let's talk about what is broadband, because not everyone knows. Broadband is fast access to the internet. And many people remember in the not-so-distant past that we used to use the telephone to dial up to the internet.
I'll never forget the noise.
The screech.
Yeah.
And the handshake and everything else, and then the tedious wait for a picture to download. Well, broadband helps tremendously by speeding up that process, a much higher quality experience. We can now, it led to the birth of YouTube, for example, made video on the internet possible. And so the world and the United States is transitioning to broadband.
How many people, percentage-wise, do you know, generally speaking, are on broadband versus still on dial-up and that kind of thing? Do we know?
A little over half of the households in America are now on broadband.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
It's not bad. And another, 20% or so, I believe, or 30% maybe on dial-up. And then another 25 to 30% don't do internet at home.
Wow.
Now, maybe they do it at work, but they're not connected at home.
But we still have a third of Americans who have computers at home and access the internet are still using dial-up.
That's right. And in fact, the number of people using broadband has decreased actually just slightly in the last year or two.
So there's been a dip, really.
Most people think it's the recession. It's the cost.
Oh.
And they're cutting back to either using it at work and cutting their subscription at home or switching to a cheaper dial-up service.
Yeah. We're talking with Jonathan Rentels of Creative Voices in Media. It's creativevoices.us. So that's broadband. We've reached about half. How do we compare to the other nations that access the internet?
We're terrible. We're awful. We're somewhere.
So I was patting myself on the American back a little too quickly there.
But we're gaining quickly on Lithuania and Latvia.
Are you serious?
Yes.
It's that bad?
We're ranked 15th in the world, apparently, among developing nations as to our quality, which is speed and affordability of broadband.
Why is that, you think?
Well, it is because we haven't had a national broadband plan. And
nice segue.
To a certain extent, yeah. But
so are these other countries that do really well, for example, like who's just got a great...
Scandinavia is great. Holland is great. South Korea and Japan are great. They have, and what is common among all the great countries in terms of broadband is they've had a national broadband plan, and they have devoted tremendous effort into making it a priority, both in terms of funding, in terms of government policy, and they have put in state-of-the-art broadband, and we are, through our national broadband plan, trying to catch up.
We're talking with Jonathan Rentels of Creative Voices in Media. It's creativevoices.us is the website. So now, who's behind the national broadband plan, and what exactly is it?
Well, this is something we've been articulating, advocating for a couple of years at Creative Voices, along with many other groups, nonprofits, ISPs, so on and so forth. And in the Recovery Act of last year, there was a great deal of stimulus money put to broadband, and also the Federal Communications Commission was charged with coming up with a broadband plan. And the plan is to get private stakeholders, nonprofits, universities, the government, all on the same page in terms of trying to cover every home in America. That's the goal. We want to get broadband to every home and make it available to every home in America and raise the speed considerably, because there's so many benefits that come from networking everyone, and also at a much greater rate of speed.
So these other countries that do well and have more broadband, is their broadband faster than ours?
Yes.
You're kidding, really?
Oh, yeah. No, it is. Yeah.
So even what we think is fast. Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Is it because there's a government subsidy to it, or is there like a public investment kind of thing?
Yes. They have given out low or no interest loans to private companies to do this, or they've directly subsidized it.
Because they recognize what? That this is worth the public investment?
They recognize that broadband is the infrastructure of the future, that like electricity, like railroads, like the telephone, like the interstate highway system, broadband is an essential infrastructure that every developed country needs to compete in the global marketplace.
Yeah, and we're not competing.
No.
So our fastest broadband is still slow compared to some of these other countries.
Well, our fastest broadband is as fast, almost, as most other countries. But not very many people have access to our fastest broadband. And in fact, the company that is putting in the fastest broadband, which is Verizon, with their Fios fiber system, is actually cutting back on its deployment. So here we are talking about getting the fastest broadband to every home in the nation within 10 years, and they're cutting back. And just to illustrate what I mean by other countries having great broadband, this is why when you call tech support or the airlines or somebody else for help, you often reach people in countries on the other side of the globe.
Yeah, I've talked to them.
Yeah. And why is that? I mean, why is that not in...
Why aren't those jobs here?
Charlottesville, yeah, or Nelson County or something. It's because we don't have the broadband here, and we don't have the workforce that at the moment is sort of technologically...
sophisticated, savvy, yeah.
Trained to use that. So part of the National Broadband Plan also is the piece of training people how to use computers, how to access broadband, what broadband can do, and giving people access to that technology. And in fact, creating a national digital literacy core, you know, modeled on the Peace Corps and so on, to train people.
And again, we're talking with Jonathan Rentels of Creative Voices in Media. Again, the advantage is astronomical, the advantage to the nation that can lay this type of groundwork and have this type of infrastructure in place. I mean, it's not just good for having fun and playing games.
No.
This is really smart for business and
That's
learning
right.
and all the stuff that makes a country strong.
That's right. We're not doing this so every American can watch a cat skateboard, you know,
right.
down the sidewalk. Not that there's anything wrong with that, and that's you know, a fine use for broadband. But broadband, I've talked about the economic development aspects of broadband, that when you put good broadband in a community, it's a prerequisite for a company or a corporation or a business now locating there. That's one of the first things they ask. What's the quality of the broadband in this community? So we've got to have a good quality of broadband for economic development.
Yeah.
You know, we got to bring those call center jobs back from India or the Philippines or wherever. Then there are all kinds of other benefits. For example, healthcare. The cost of healthcare, astronomical. But for people, particularly in rural areas, they can, with fast broadband, not be monitored at home over the internet by their healthcare professionals. They can have consultations, you know, with a hospital hundreds of miles away regarding their condition. And the transfer of all kinds of healthcare records, which are, you know, we're drowning in healthcare paper.
Yeah.
That's one of the huge things in the healthcare plan that was passed, and also in the stimulus package that was passed a year ago. How to get that healthcare record of every American digitized so that it can flow quickly back and forth,
yeah,
and will reduce the cost of healthcare tremendously.
We were just talking to folks from the University of Virginia the other day. They're just embarking now on a multi-year
right.
project to get everybody to the same electronic system and get all that stuff digitized. But it'll take years to do it. But
it will.
But they've started the process.
That's right. And that's part of the National Broadband Plan. Now, you know, there are other ways. Energy, for example, work people now telecommuting rather than clogging up the roads at rush hour all trying to get to the same place, to the same office. The federal government, in fact, is giving people incentives for the people that work for them. Stay at home. If you have broadband, we'll let you work from home.
Yeah.
Don't clog up the road. You know, so it saves on the pollution.
I was listening to NPR the other day. There's a whole new business model now where companies don't even have central offices.
That's
Everybody's
right.
in their own place at home. And, you know, you just have an automated answering phone. Or if somebody's calling you, they'll just call your cell phone that sits on your desk. And, you know, we're doing away with offices.
That's right. JetBlue was, I believe, the first in the airline business to innovate that way, where their reservations agents are sitting in their home. And, you know, booking you on JetBlue from the comfort of their home without having to drive into a bricks and mortars office.
But only the best broadband makes this all possible.
That's right. That's right.
If you just joined us, we're talking with Jonathan Rentels, the founder and director of Creative Voices in Media. It's online at creativevoices.us, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070. Well, here's the multi-billion-dollar question then.
Right.
Is there political will to make this happen? I mean, given the fact that we're behind Lithuania... in terms of broadband, and that this is the new electricity, this is the new highway. You got to have this stuff if you want to be a strong country. Do we have the political will to make the public investment, or have we reached the point now where there's just any kind of major public investment? We're seeing that in Virginia. You can't make a major public investment in transportation anymore. We're getting a lot of pushback on schools. Because there's just this sentiment out there, mostly on the right, but some on the left, saying, hey, you got enough money. Make do with what you have, and we're not going to give you any more of our money for these type of major investments.
Well, I have good news and bad news. The good news is everyone agrees that we need better broadband quickly. The bad news is people don't agree on how to get there, and that implementing the National Broadband Plan is going to be much more difficult than creating the broadband plan. As some people have said, this is like a stimulus package for every lobbyist in Washington, because it's almost 400 pages. And on every page, there's a bullet point or an initiative or an idea that people disagree about. And so the idea that there's going to be consensus on this, and yes, let's vote it up and move forward and on to the next thing, is not accurate. And there's going to be tough battles between a lot of entrenched interests in this.
Yeah.
For example, the wireless carriers and people like Apple and BlackBerry and all that see wireless internet, and they're right about this, as the wave of the future. And so we need more radio spectrum to accommodate, to provide the capacity for all those people accessing the internet using their smartphones.
Yeah. How do you get that?
I mean, today in San Francisco and New York, if you have an iPhone, you're gnashing your teeth because AT&T just doesn't have the capacity to accommodate all these people.
Well, they're getting ready to fix that, aren't they? New iPhones that will be available to other...
They're trying to... iPhone supposedly is going to come to the Verizon network.
Yeah.
So, and one of the reasons is because the AT&T network is just stretched to capacity. It's giving Apple a bad name.
Yeah. It's not one of my favorites. I had an iPhone, and the connections around here are horrible. You
know? Well, they just upgraded to the 3G network here a few months ago.
Oh,
so,
well, maybe it's
that
improved.
Made the experience much better.
Yeah.
But... So where are they going to get that spectrum? Well, the best spectrum, it turns out, is right now being used for television broadcasting.
Oh,
and
good
so
luck.
It's the property of the television broadcasters, many of whom aren't using it and who were given it for free by the federal government with the idea that they would use it to serve the public. Well, we talked about this a few years ago in the transition to digital television.
Yeah.
A lot of these stations, for example, in Charlottesville, have the capacity to broadcast over five or six digital channels. They're only using two or three.
Yeah, they don't have the content.
So how about, can we have some of that spectrum back? Can we buy it from you? And so on and so forth. That's going to be a huge battle between television and internet.
And we gave it to them for free, and we'll have to buy it back, and they probably won't sell it.
No, they're not... favorably disposed to
selling. So meanwhile, you can't have that broadband.
That's right. They have a license
to use
that
wireless broadband.
Now, new technology is coming on, for example, to use what are called the white spaces between the television channels, the frequencies. There are spaces so that they don't overlap,
right,
and interfere with each other. Well, technology has enabled us to use some of that. And there's a whole new generation of devices coming.
In the neutral zones.
That's right. Well, we call them the white spaces, but you could call them that as well, that are going to be able to access the internet through those spaces.
So this isn't going to be easy. It's not going to be cheap.
No.
But yet we're sitting here. We're already way behind the rest of the developed world.
That's right.
It's frustrating.
Well, it's frustrating.
I mean, gosh, when you recognize it, something like this. If you want to have a strong country in the 21st century, you got to have this. You can't have a third of your nation that's not on the internet and another third that's still on dial-up.
And, you know, I've only touched on some of the benefits. For example, the conservation of energy. If we have fast broadband and implement it properly, then every home in America can monitor its energy usage. And we can have demand-based rates, you know, that... where people, if they will use their washing machine in the middle of the night, then they get a cheaper rate than if they're using it when everybody else is using it. And so we don't have to build as many power plants. We don't have to use the old power plants that pollute so much
in order
to provide that power. It really, you know, the savings to government and the opportunity for people to participate in government are so much greater if you have committee meetings, streamed on the internet.
On broadband, yeah.
Absolutely. And that's all possible for people to participate from their home with a video camera and a microphone.
We're talking with Jonathan Rentels, the founder and director of Creative Voices in Media. It's creativevoices.us. And we got a couple of minutes left, but let's talk a little indecency if we can.
My favorite topic.
Indeed. And so what's the latest?
Well, the latest, and I always want to preface this by saying we're not in favor of indecency or in favor of free speech. But the latest is this. The Supreme Court ruled last fall in a case from the FCC where both Cher and Nicole Richie had used both the F and the S words on the Fox television network, which is subject to indecency regulation. That the FCC had the authority to change its rules. We had argued that they made such huge rules changes and so on, and people weren't given notice. Well, essentially we lost in that, and they upheld the FCC fine. However, we may have lost the battle but won the war, because they then said, but we want to send this back to the lower courts to find out if the FCC rules on indecent speech are constitutional under the First Amendment.
Oh, interesting. Under the existing law, the Supreme Court said, you can't do this, but let's review this law in the first place and see if this is constitutional.
That's right. Your decisions are okay in terms of the rules you've made, but now let's go back and see if these rules are constitutional.
So as a result of that, you think we might see eventually some type of loosening and less Puritan standards that America is known for worldwide? The rest of the world is a little bit more lax and free with what they can do on television?
To the extent that the broadband plan is sort of the lobbyist stimulus act, the indecency battle is the lawyer's stimulus package, because we've already gone back now to two courts of appeal, because there are two cases. One is the Janet Jackson case in the Third Circuit.
The wardrobe problem.
Wardrobe malfunction. And the other is this Nicole Richie and Cher bad language case, which went to the Second Circuit. The Second Circuit heard this first, and this is very unusual. Because what happened essentially is the lawyers came in to argue the case, and the Second Circuit judges unanimously said, there's no way this is constitutional. I mean, they just started from the get-go in terms of the oral argument saying, we don't see how, you know, this is so vague and so inconsistent. All the things we've been arguing, I'm pleased to say, they were really reading from our songbook. And they said, we just don't see how this gives, you know, creative people, who we represent and advocate for, fair notice as to what you, FCC, will determine will be indecent. You know, it just seems to be so arbitrary. So we couldn't have been more pleased. Now, the Third Circuit said, well, we're not sure. They got much more technical. It was a much more even-handed back and forth as opposed to the Second Circuit, which essentially came in and said to the FCC, you lose, don't let the door hit you on the way out, you know.
Yeah.
So we're waiting those two decisions.
Yeah.
And they'll be coming in a couple of months. And then those are sure to go up to the Supreme Court again. And we'll get a Supreme Court decision, I expect, on the constitutionality of the indecency rules and regulations by the FCC in a year or two.
There you go. Jonathan Rentels, you can read more and learn more online at creativevoices.us. He's the founder and director of Creative Voices in Media. Jonathan, thank you for the update. Appreciate it.
Coy, it's a pleasure. I enjoyed it.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.